got a tweet from a guy saying, O-Dog looks like the Honky Tonk Man. You remember that guy?
You look like the Honky Tonk Man. He had a boiler on him, too. Like, Honky Tonk would be cruising around with the guitar. I don't think he ever won anything.
Dude, he was brutal,
man. He sucked. Yeah, he was just there. He was just a guy that was kind of in the rotation.
He was the guy that went out there and the Ultimate Warrior would just kick his ass and mop him up, and he would shake his jacket and leave the ring.
Yeah, he'd have a hot start, and he'd be like, hey, the Honky Tonk series, going to maybe get himself a win against the Ultimate Warrior. Then, no, end of discussion. But some of the tweets coming in are nothing short of outrageous. Like, some of these wrestlers are, the Rikishi is coming up a lot, the Honky Tonk. Yeah, there's a few of them. I don't know enough of the other guys. Like, there's some old school ones, new school ones. This is where we need Mullen to really be able to kind of filter through everything and break it all down in terms of
what I think we can move on from it.
Time to move on. All right. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What's happening, Johnny?
What is going on? Ending moves for wrestling. I got to tell you, though, I obviously don't have a clue about wrestling anymore, but as a kid, I remember when I played for the Toronto Marlies, like 9, 10 years old, just starting playing AAA, whatever. And like once a month, we got to practice down at Maple Leaf Gardens. It was like the perk of being on the Marlies. And so we practiced like 7 in the morning on a Saturday before the Leafs morning skate, before our Toronto Marlies OHL game. So we'd go down there like super early, and we'd be running around the down bottom part of Maple Leaf Gardens, and there would be like wrestling rings set up. So that was our pre-practice warm-up. We'd have full, like, can you imagine 9 and 10-year-old boys like wrestling with the ropes and everything, trying to jump off them and just not trying to kill ourselves. So I liked wrestling when I was a kid, but
that'd be awesome, man. Yeah, the Gardens, was the man. Best. Gardens, like, yeah. It's got such a great history of concerts and wrestling. Like, Muhammad Ali fought at the Gardens. You know, it's just, like, you just don't have anything. I don't think Scotiabank can hold a candle.
Wasn't wrestling there a lot? I remember my grandfather
all the time.
It was like WWF wrestling all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We used to stand there, like the odd time it'd be like a huge day. It'd be like morning skate, then you'd do like the Leaf and practice, then a Marley game, then dinner, and then you go to the whatever Leaf game. But sometimes you go over to watch wrestling there, and you could stand by. Remember the entrance where you used to walk in as a player, that kind of back north east corner of the building by Wood Street, whatever. And you could stand there, and the wrestlers would walk in there. And I remember King Kong Bundy, sometimes I'm aging myself, who was a bad guy in the wrestling, was a heel. And he came in, and there was like a whole bunch of little kids like me around there saying, oh, yeah, King Kong, you're the man. And he was fully in character, like an absolute jerk, like a complete not a nice guy. And I'm like, this guy's unbelievable. So I hated him that much more, but he walked around fully in character. Yeah, we were wrestling with a thing down there.
They'll do that, man. We had a wrestler on a couple years ago who we thought we were interviewing the person about his life and career, and he was in character on the show. Yeah. And it was so awkward because we're like, dude, we don't really care that much about your you know, your match against the Bronx Brawler or whoever you're fighting. We'd prefer to talk about the craziness of being on the road and how'd you get into the industry. And he wouldn't break. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll move on. It was like a 3-minute interview, and we just bailed. But anyway, we'll get to the Leafs stuff. We just spent a ton of time on the Leafs. I want to get to your comments on that, but there's so much else going on here. Vancouver, they clean house. Travis Green is out. Jim Benning, the GM, is out. Does this feel 2 weeks too late, 3 weeks too late? What do you make of it? What do you make of Boudreaux coming in as the head coach?
Well, like in a vacuum, Boudreaux makes a lot of sense. Like, he's a guy who, wherever he has gone, he has won. He's won with, like, a skilled team, an offense. He's won with defense. He's won with superstars. He's won without superstars. He is one of the best regular season coaches in the history of the NHL. He always wins. So if you want to get a new coach bump with a guy who's got experience and has a lot of winning under his belt, it makes sense to go get Bruce Boudreaux. What doesn't make sense, though, to me, is not him in a vacuum, because he doesn't work in a vacuum. He works for an organization who just also fired the general manager. And generally speaking, if you're going to replace the GM, the GM should get to pick the coach. The coach works for that GM, so you don't want to hire the coach and force him onto the GM. That's the part that doesn't make any sense. And the other part is, maybe this tells you where Vancouver's going. He has an eight, whatever it is, a 16-month contract.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much he's supposed to be able to get done in 16 months. And if they're going to any kind of rebuild, then that's nothing, right? So they're kind of tells me they're going to kind of stay with the core and hope that he just makes them better.
Johnny, how does this whole transaction, if, like, who would have called Boudreaux? Is, like, the owner calling him directly? Or you fired the GM, which is kind of weird because the GM never likes a coach that he hasn't appointed. So how the hell do they get through this operation?
It's kind of, well, I mean, Bruce really wanted back into coaching. So he's probably going to be amenable to be a, you know, a good team player at work, however he is asked to work. But I guess it would be the owner, or I don't know, is it the Sedins who are like assistants to the owner? Is it Stan Smeal who might be the interim? Like one of those executives who are not necessarily in hockey ops, because Jim Benning kind of ran all of that, would probably have talked about a coach, or maybe it's the GM that they want that they haven't hired yet. They had conversation with him, and for whatever reason, he's not available. Whether
Johnny,
it's
what what an introduction to hockey! If Aquilini said to Daniel and Henrik, "Welcome to the team. Go fire Jimmy Benning." Jimmy Benning.
When Brad Pitt tells Jonah Hill to go fire the coach or whatever, they go on the road and fire a trade or send someone down, whatever he's supposed to tell him he's traded. Like, listen, welcome to this part of the job. You got to do it. And you'd like to think the Sedins kind of would float above all that, but if they're going to run a hockey team, that is going to be part of it. It just seems it may work out in the end, and the names may match up, but it seems a little backwards right now to get the coach first and not the GM.
Oh yeah, for sure. But they've done everything backwards for 7 or 8 years. Yeah. I mean,
sense that way.
Yeah, and like Jim Benning, it was the end of the road for him. I was surprised he came back. Period. He's been there for 7 or 8 years. It has not gone anywhere. They're in shambles. You've got fans throwing jerseys on the ice. This is appeasing the fan base. This is cleaning house. I look at Bruce Boudreaux effectively the same way I looked at Dusty Baker going into Houston after A.J. Hinch was out. It's like we need an older guy that everyone loves to come in here and just cool everything down. Now, Houston was still a very talented team that was going to compete for a World Series. Vancouver is not, but I don't put it past the owner in believing that this team is better than they actually are. Like, with considering they're up against the cap, they just paid Pettersson, they've just paid Quinn Hughes. You know, I don't think they can salvage the season. I don't know what Boudreaux can really bring to the table, but it feels like they're just going to snap out of it in a year and a half and then make another determination, effectively. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Feels like it may be a stopgap. Maybe he does try to get the most out of them. But even if he does this year, I think that so far gone, it's unlikely that, like, you know, if they end up with 85 points and finish 10th, that's not a good spot for them to be. And, you know, I mean, it's probably worse that they do well the rest of the year if they don't make the playoffs. But you're right. I imagine, listen, we want to be successful. We thought we had a better team than this. We want some fans in the building. We don't want jerseys getting tossed on the ice. Boudreaux will check a lot of boxes to stop that because he is likable. He has been around. He does generally win. And so maybe he gets the team playing better. And he probably will because they are better than they've played, even though they're not that great. Par for the course out there. Kind of a bit of a head scratcher, but maybe it works out in the end.
Johnny, there's only one way for me to really sum this up. It's like Vigneault's out in Philly. Greeny got gas in Vancouver. There's not really the blockbuster deals out there anymore. It's almost like you make your bed with the players you select as your go-to guys, the ones you're going to pay. And if they decide to lay an egg and stink the joint out, you're going to get gassed. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's just the brutal reality of what's going on today.
That's it, in a nutshell, which means too, means you're kind of at the mercy of the performance of your players for sure.
No kidding. But it's maybe, like, they can just go out there like that Pettersson. Hazy was talking about it last week. There was an empty net play in Columbus where he just said, screw
he
this.
He didn't
not
even
going.
Chase him. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to trip him. I'm not going to slash him. Go ahead, take it. I saw it. I'm like, what? I'd rather see you chop his ankle off and give him the empty netter on a penalty. But it just kind of showed where his head was at. But it also says, though, you can't screw up who you commit to. Like,
no,
you can't misread
kidding.
Who you give those contracts to, who you identify as your core, because you can't get out of it without taking something bad back. And that's where Vancouver is, and maybe in a way that's where Philly is too.
Well, Philly's, for the longest time, was a goalie graveyard. It's a coaching graveyard now.
Jesus, perfect.
All they do is just pull the plug.
Like, Vigneault, I like AV. He's a good coach. Who was he there, a year and a half, Hayes?
Year and a half, yeah. Like, they had a meltdown on the stretch last year. It was ugly. Like, they really fell apart, and they're winless in eight now. It's getting ugly there, but they've had injury problems, and I look at that team, I don't think they're a great team anyway. Like, what are they? Fighting for a wild card? They're not a cup contending team in Philly.
Well, look at their personnel, though. They got good damn players there. Like, you look at that roster, you're like, Giroux, Konechny, it just goes on and on. I think they got a, and they brought in a bunch of good guys like Ellis, Ristolainen, and it's like, how are you so bad? I don't get it. How are you so bad?
Well, I think when you watch Philly, you're right. Their names on paper look better than they've shown on the ice. That's for sure. And they've gotten, well, as of late, maybe not as good, but to start the year, they got good goaltending. Like, Carter Hart was really good the first month of the year. You know, I think Ryan Ellis hasn't played very much this year, right? He was their big defensive acquisition. He's supposed to play with Provorov. He's been hurt the whole year. That hurts them. Obviously, Kevin Hayes had a tough start, tragedy with his brother, but also he was injured. You know, they've missed some guys. Ristolainen, he's a very polarizing guy. Is he good or is he not? Who knows? But I don't know who they are. When I watch them play, like, I don't care if you are physical. I don't care if you are fast. I don't care if you are skilled, if you are defensive. But generally speaking, after a third of the season, I should know how you play when you are successful. And I don't know how Philly plays when they are successful. Like, I'm not sure exactly what their recipe is that they're trying to do every night. They won't do it every night, but generally more times than not, you're like, okay, that's a good Flyer game. That's what they look like. And I don't know what that looks like for them, and I'm not sure they do, because it's kind of a different mix of kind of style of play every night.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, what's your prediction on games for Jason Spezza, games for Neil Pionk?
Boy, that got wild. First off, it's one of those ones where you're watching. I know you're in studio for it, and I'm watching it. And you're like, it's a fun game to watch. Like, things get a little bit out of hand. Things get a little chippy. Guys are fighting everywhere. Logan Stanley's talking about wrestling heel, acting like he just won the WWF belt. And he's like, you're the undercard, my man.
Right.
But the fallout of it is not so funny. Because who knows what's going on with Sandin and his knee. Hopefully it's a Charlie horse, not a knee ligament. And you're going to have probably two guys suspended for it. And I think Jason Spezza will get suspended for more games than Neil Pionk. Now, I know everyone's going to say, hang on. If they would have called Pionk, then Spezza wouldn't have to do what he did. True. But they didn't. And you just can't have guys running around avenging missed calls. That's just not something the NHL will tolerate. So Pionk, I don't know what a kneeing penalty like that is worth. Three games? What did Doughty got caught earlier by Hockenpah? Did
Hockenpah
get a couple games? Nothing. Okay,
no.
So I'm guessing, what, two games for Pionk, especially if Sandin's hurt a little bit? He tracked his knee out a little bit. He got him knee on knee. Okay, two games maybe three?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry. I thought Spez is, like, everyone likes Jason. Everyone knows he's not a dirty player. That was a wickedly dirty hit. Like, really, really bad dirty hit. Guy's on his knees trying to puck with his hand, and he drives his knee into his chest and his head when his head is 18 inches off the ice. Like,
we got bad reception, dangerous. Johnny. We got a fly, bud.
No, that's, I'm with you though, Johnny. It's a different context, different play, but it was kind of like, you know, Kadri going after, was it Wingles? You know, back in the day where he, you know, Wingles was down, buried him from behind there. But this, it was predatory in nature. Like, Spezza clearly was going at Pionk individually. Yep,
and four or five games.
He's going to pay a price for that, for sure.
And, guys, if you're looking at that, what happened there, you saw what happened by accident, I believe, with John Tavares last year. That could have been Pionk last night. So
yeah, if you get him in the head like that, the stretcher comes out. What did you mention the Logan Stanley reaction. What did you make of that after his – it was like a half fight with Simmons. It wasn't even really a fight.
Okay, so here's my reaction. As a Jet, you're like, attaboy, Stanner or whatever they call him. Like, you know, get in there, have some fun, like, whether you're tough or not, good, whatever, whip it up, home crowd. If I'm on the Leaf bench, I'm like, who is this pigeon third-pairing guy? If you're going to be a hero and celebrate, you're a tough guy, then score up with Wayne Simmons and beat him up then. And
right.
Then celebrate. Like, don't wrestle and grapple and then, like, roll out like you just did something impressive. Like, that would be my guttural reaction on the Leaf bench. Like, who is this guy kidding? Like, what are you talking about? You didn't even fight him. You didn't even want to fight him.
Johnny, so, that might have seemed funny for Stanley to do that in the moment, and it kind of was. He thought, you know what, I'm not coming back, whatever. I'm going to get a rise out of the crowd, but guess what happened? He just put a target on his back because somebody said, okay, you want to make an ass out of yourself or try to make an ass out of us? You just wait. Mm-hmm. So that's what he ultimately did.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, who knows? They don't play until March, I think, but, you know, he better, like, I'm not doing anything, but like you react like that, it feels like, well, you better fight next time when he asks you to, like, fight properly, and then celebrate if you win, if you want. But it seemed a little, it would be aggravating if you're a Leaf. It would probably be pretty funny and humorous if you're a Jet.
Yeah, like I like the personality and you know, it brings something of an entertainment value to it. But I saw it the same way. I mean, the Jets are laughing about it. They're up big. The game's over. Moving on, they probably love the guy. He's a teammate of theirs, but I'm pretty sure Simmons challenged him straight up earlier, and Stanley wanted nothing to do with it. Here, it wasn't even a fight. It was like a third man in with
scrum.
The refs in a scrum, and it was like Domi Probert at the Garden. Like, come on, man. Like, yeah, I think the Leafs will probably have a reaction to that. That'll be one that will go into the memory bank, and we'll see what happens. You know, that doesn't mean Stanley's going to decide to drop the gloves in March, and nor does he have to. But it will come up before that game. I guarantee you that. It'll get referenced again, for sure.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it will. We'll leave it there, buddy. We'll do it again later in the week. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst.